بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Before we begin the lesson, I request the brothers to move a bit closer, inshallah. In this lesson, we come to the chapter about the uncles and the aunts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the author rahimahullah, he spoke about the paternal uncles of the Prophet, i.e. the uncles of the Prophet from his father's side and his grandfather's side. And of course, the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as you know, was Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib was not the name of... Come over here. Abdul Muttalib was not the name of his grandfather. Rather, it was a nickname which was given to his grandfather. The name of Abdul Muttalib was Shaybatul Hamd. So his actual name was Shaybatul Hamd. And his father's name was Hashim. And that's why we say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim. And the name of Abdul Muttalib is Shaybatul Hamd. So the grandfather of the Prophet, who is known as Abdul Muttalib, he was actually born in Al-Madinah. And of course, at that time, there was no Medina. Medina was known as Yathrib. So Abdul Muttalib was born in Yathrib. And the father of Abdul Muttalib, whose name was Hashim, he died in Gaza, in Palestine, whilst Abdul Muttalib was very young. And so his uncle, i.e. the brother of his father, whose name was Muttalib, the uncle of Abdul Muttalib, i.e. the brother of Hashim, his name was Muttalib, he took care of Shaybatul Hamd, or Abdul Muttalib. And it is mentioned that his uncle, who he said is Muttalib, he brought Abdul Muttalib to Mecca, to reside in Mecca, and he was sitting behind him on the camel. And the people thought that this boy, Shaybatul Hamd, he is the slave of Muttalib. And so they said, this is Abdul Muttalib, this is the slave of Al-Muttalib. So Al-Muttalib, it was not a name of an idol. So when they said Abdul Muttalib, they don't mean the worshipper of an idol called Muttalib. Rather, they meant that this is the slave of Muttalib. And then he corrected them, Al-Muttalib. He said, no, this is not my slave, this is my nephew. But his name became famous amongst the Quraysh as being Abdul Muttalib. Otherwise, his name was Shaybatul Hamd. And Abdul Muttalib, he had 11 sons and 6 daughters. And these are the uncles and the aunties of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we mentioned previously, Abdul Muttalib had taken an oath with Allah that if he has 10 sons, he would slaughter or sacrifice the next one for the sake of Allah. And so it was Abdullah, the father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who should have been sacrificed, because Abdul Muttalib needed to keep true to his vow to Allah. However, when the time came for him to sacrifice Abdullah, the father of the Prophet, the Quraysh appealed with him and they said, instead of sacrificing your son, sacrifice 100 camels in the name of Allah. And he did this. And this is why Abdullah, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is known as Al-Dhabih. And the meaning of Al-Dhabih, the one who should have been sacrificed. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known as Ibn al-Dhabih, the son of the one who should have been sacrificed. In fact, as we mentioned previously, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known as Ibn al-Dhabihain, the son of two fathers who should have been sacrificed or slaughtered. The first of them, his real father Abdullah, who Abdul Muttalib had taken a vow to sacrifice, and also his forefather Ismail alayhi salam, whom Allah ordered Ibrahim to slaughter or sacrifice, and of course it was just a test. And the author mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had 11 uncles from the side of his father. And the 11 uncles whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, some of them died before Islam ever came, meaning they died in Jahiliyyah. They never lived until the Prophet appeared, and they died in Jahiliyyah. And some amongst them, they lived until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam appeared and they accepted Islam. And some amongst them, they lived until Islam and until the Prophet came, and they stubbornly rejected Islam. And the author mentioned that the first of his uncles is Al-Harith, i.e. Al-Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Al-Harith, the son of Abd al-Muttalib. وَهُوَ أَكْبَرُ وَلَدِي عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. And he was the oldest son of Abd al-Muttalib. Meaning Al-Harith is the eldest uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Abd al-Muttalib, he used to be known as Abu al-Harith, because his kunya was Abu al-Harith, because Al-Harith was his oldest son. And the author mentions that Al-Harith, the eldest uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had children and young grandchildren, and many of them were companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So for example, the famous companion Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, and we mentioned him previously, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepted Islam. And he accepted Islam when Makkah was conquered, and then he fought the Battle of Hunain and At-Ta'if along with the Muslims. And then he died in Al-Madinah during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And there are two different Abu Sufyans that we should not confuse. There is Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, and he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was a chief of the Arabs of the Quraysh. And there is Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harb. And Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harb, he is the father of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and he is the father of Ummu Habiba, who was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there is Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harb, the father of Muawiyah, and then there is Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith. And Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also from the sons of al-Harith who accepted Islam and they were Sahaba, was Rabi'ah ibn al-Harith. Rabi'ah, the son of al-Harith, the son of Abdul Muttalib. And he accepted Islam in the 5th year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he partook in the conquering of Mecca and Hunain and also At-Ta'if. And also Nawfal ibn al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib, also from the Sahaba. So this was his first uncle al-Harith. His second uncle was Quthm. And Quthm, the author mentions, he passed away whilst he was still young. Meaning Quthm, he never saw Islam. Rather, he died in Jahiliyyah, and that's why nothing is known about this uncle. And also he had an uncle called Az-Zubayr, i.e. Zubayr, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the brother of the father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَكَانَ مِنْ أَشْرَافِ قُرَيْشِ. And Az-Zubayr ibn al-Muttalib, he was from the nobles of Quraysh. And he had a son called Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. However, this isn't Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who was from the famous Sahaba, one of the 10 who was given the glad tidings of Jannah. He is Abdullah ibn Zubayr ibn al-Awam. And this is Abdullah ibn Zubayr ibn Abd al-Muttalib. And he mentioned that he witnessed the Battle of Hunayn with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was martyred in the Battle of Ajnadin. And Ajnadin was a battle which occurred after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam between the Muslims and the Byzantines. And it occurred in Philistine, in Ramlah. And it is mentioned, as the author says, that Az-Zubayr, his body was found, or rather Abdullah ibn Zubayr, his body was found surrounded by seven others. Meaning, he had killed seven kuffar before he was martyred, radiallahu anhu. Also, from the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, the brother of the father of the Prophet Abdullah. And Hamza radiallahu anhu accepted Islam from the Sahaba. And he is known as Asadullah wa Asadu Rasulihi. He is the lion of Allah and the lion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was the uncle of the Prophet, and he was also a stepbrother of the Prophet. So he was the uncle and the stepbrother. And how was he the stepbrother? Because he had been suckled or breastfed by the same mother, Halima Sa'diya. So because both of them were breastfed by the same suckling mother or the wet nurse, they became like stepbrothers to each other. So he was his uncle, and at the same time he was his stepbrother. وَأَسْلَمَ قَدِيمًا. And he accepted Islam early on. وَهَاجَرَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَ. And he made a hijrah to Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَشَهِدَ بَدْرًا. And he fought in the Battle of Badr. وَقُتِلَ يَوْمُ أَحَدْ وَقُتِلَ يَوْمَ أُحُدْ شَهِيدًا. And he was killed in the Battle of Uhud as a martyr. And he only had a single daughter. Hamza radiallahu anhu, he only had a single daughter. So this daughter of Hamza, she is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as you know, in Islam, cousins are allowed to be married. So his daughter was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for marriage. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he refused to marry the daughter of Hamza. And he said, إِنَّهَا بِنْتُ أَخِي مِنَ الرِّضَاعَةِ. That she, the daughter of Hamza, she is like my niece. She's my cousin on one side, but on the other side, because Hamza was my stepbrother, then she's like my niece. She's like the daughter of my stepbrother. And therefore, it isn't allowed for me to marry her. And he accepted Islam in Mecca. And the story of how Hamza radiallahu anhu came to Islam, it has a number of lessons in it. Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was from the mushrikun. And he was known that he was from the courageous and brave soldiers and the warriors of the Quraysh. But at the same time, he was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was only 2 years older than the Prophet. So they were very close to each other also in friendship. And one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was near Masjid al-Haram, and Abu Jahl was also there with his friends. And Abu Jahl, he insulted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in one narration, he threw a stone at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the Prophet started bleeding. And he said regarding him some bad words, and he insulted him in a way which was not good. And this was near Jabal Safa, the Mount As-Safa. Safa wal Marwa, near the Mountain As-Safa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he heard Abu Jahl insulting him, he walked away from him. And he did not speak to him, and the Prophet went into his house. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That whenever the foolish people speak to them or insult them, they say salama, they walk away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not reply to the insults and he walked away. There was a slave girl, and she heard what Abu Jahl had said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hamza was away. Hamza did not know, and Hamza is still a non-Muslim. When Hamza came to his house, the slave girl, she informed him what Abu Jahl had said to the Prophet and how he had insulted him. And she said, Ya Aba Ammara, O Abu Ammara, meaning Hamza, لو رأيت ما لقي ابن أخيك محمد. If only you knew what your nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he has faced today. Then she informed him about the insults that Abu Jahl threw at him. So Hamza radiallahu anhu, and he's a mushrik, he became angry because it's his nephew and it's his stepbrother, and also it's a close friend of his. And so this pride and jealousy over his nephew and over his close family member, it made him angry. So Hamza radiallahu anhu, and he's a non-Muslim, he picked up his bow and he walked to the Masjid al-Haram. He went to Jabal al-Safa where Abu Jahl was sitting. And then he came to where Abu Jahl was sitting and he hit him with the bow until he cut Abu Jahl. And so Abu Jahl started bleeding. And then Hamza said, أَتَشْتُمْهُ وَأَنَا عَلَى دِينِهِ أَقُولُ مَا يَقُولُ That do you insult Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I am of the same religion as him, and I say exactly what he says, and I believe what he believes. And at this stage, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he did not say this believing in Islam. He only said it in a moment of anger and pride and jealousy over his nephew. So in a moment of anger, he just said that, why do you insult and curse him? And I am of the same religion which he has, and I say exactly what he says. And the Quraysh, when they heard Hamza say this, they said, مَا نَرَاكَ يَا حَمْزَ إِلَّا قَدْ صَبَأْتَ. He said, the Quraysh said, Oh Hamza, we see you that you have left the religion of your forefathers. And Hamza said, Yes, أَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Yes, I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. وَأَنَّ الَّذِي يَقُولُهُ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. And I bear witness that whatever Muhammad says, it is the truth. فَامْنَعُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So try preventing me or insulting me if you are truthful. And anyway, of course they could not fight Hamza because Hamza had that status amongst the Quraysh. And then after a while, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was true to Islam. Meaning initially when he accepted Islam, it wasn't because of Islam that he accepted Islam, it was because of family and pride, family pride. But then later on, he was truthful and sincere in his Islam and he fought for the sake of Islam. And as soon as Hamza radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, then the Muslims, they gained authority and honor. And only 3-4 days later on, also Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. And with the Islam of Hamza and Umar radiallahu anhuma, then the Muslims, they gained a lot of authority and things changed for the Muslims. And that's why Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَا زِلْنَا مُعَزِّينَ مُنْدُ مَا أَسْلَمَ عُمَر. That we have remained honored since Umar accepted Islam. And also, then he made hijrah to Al-Madinah and he started the Battle of Badr. Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was the first person to fight in the Battle of Badr. And that is because in the olden days, the Arabs, when they used to have a war, before the war, there was a duel. And what this means is that a soldier from one side would come forward in the middle of the battlefield, and a soldier from the other side would come forward in the battle of the field, and them two would fight each other first. And maybe there would be 2-3 of them, and they would have duels with each other, and then the battle would take place. So, 3 amongst the Quraysh came forward. And they were Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, and his son Al-Walid, and his brother Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah. They came forward, and they came to the battle of the... They came to the middle of the battlefield and they requested 3 men from the Muslims to come forward for the Mubaraza. The meaning of Mubaraza is this duel between them. So 3 from the Ansar stepped forward. And these 3 from the Quraysh, They said, "Man antum? Who are you?" And they said, "Nahnu rahtum min al-ansar," that we are a group of the Ansar from the Muslim side. So the Quraysh said, these three, "Ma lana bikum haja," that we don't want to fight you. You're the Ansar. We have no need to fight you. We don't prove anything by fighting you. Then they said, "Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, akhrij ilayna akfa'ana min qawmina." He said, "O Muhammad, send our equals from our people," meaning send three people from the Quraysh, from the people of Makkah who are going to fight the challenge for us. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Qum ya Hamza," stand and go, O Hamza. "Wa qum ya Ali," stand and go, O Ali. "Wa qum ya Ubaidah ibn al-Harith," and stand and go, O Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. So Hamza and Ali and Ubaidah radiallahu anhum from the Muslim side came forward, and then the three, as I mentioned, from the side of the Kuffar. Hamza radiallahu an, he had a duel with Shayba ibn Rabi'a and he killed him. And so this was the first sword which was lifted in the Battle of Badr. And Ali radiallahu an, he had a duel with Al-Walid and he killed him. As for Ubaidah ibn al-Harith radiallahu an, he was older in age, so he wasn't as young. And he had a duel with Utbah ibn Rabi'a, and they both injured each other, meaning it wasn't a clear victory for one over the other. And then Hamza and Ali radiallahu anhuma came back, and then they killed Utbah ibn Rabi'a, and they carried Ubaidah back to the Muslim side because he had been injured. And then the author mentioned that Hamza radiallahu an, he was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And that is that Hamza radiallahu an, when they found his body, he had around him 31 soldiers from the Kuffar who he had killed. And then finally he had been martyred in fi sabilillah. And the body of Hamza radiallahu an was mutilated in a bad way. Meaning, after they had killed him, then the Quraysh, they took his body and they mutilated his body. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, he said, "Waqafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ala Hamza wa qad muthila bihi." That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he found the body of Hamza radiallahu anhu, "wa qad muthila bihi," and the body of Hamza had been mutilated by the kuffar. "Falam yara manzaran kana awja'u liqalbihi min." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never saw anything which was more hurtful to him than when he saw the body of his uncle Hamza radiallahu an. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Rahimakallah ay am." He said, "May the mercy of Allah be upon you, O my uncle." "Faqad kunta wusulan lil rahimi fu'ulan lil khairat." Verily, you used to keep the ties of kinship and used to do acts of goodness. Jabir radiallahu an mentioned that when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard that Hamza had been killed, he cried. فَلَمَّا رَأَى مَا مُثِّلَ بِهِ شَهِقْ. And then when he saw the body of Hamza had been mutilated, then he wept more. And there's a narration in which when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw the body of Hamza radiallahu an, he said, "Ja'ani Jibril." Jibril came to me. فَأَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّ حَمْزَ مَكْتُوبٌ فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ. And Jibril informed me that Hamza is known by the inhabitants of the seven heavens as being Hamza Asadullah wa Asadu Rasulihi. That this is Hamza, the lion of Allah and the lion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the author mentioned the other uncle of the Prophet, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. And he was also from those uncles who met the Prophet, who lived until Islam, and he accepted Islam. And he made hijrah to Al-Madinah, and he accepted Islam just before the conquering of Mecca, as we mentioned previously. And he was older than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by only 3 years. And also he had sons, and they were companions of the Prophet. And Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet used to love him a lot. And he died in the khilaf of Uthman radiallahu an, 33 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Abbas, before Islam, he had a great status amongst the Quraysh. And that is that he was known for maintaining Masjid al-Haram and also giving water to the Hujjaj. And this is called As-Siqaya. So As-Siqaya was a great honor for the Quraysh, that when people come to Mecca to perform Hajj, because even before Islam they used to perform Hajj, we feed water to the people. And this was a great honor for the Quraysh, and also that we are the custodians of Masjid al-Haram. And Al-Abbas was one of the main people who used to maintain and build and clean the masjid and also feed the pilgrims. And this is whilst he was a non-Muslim. And whilst he was a non-Muslim, he said to some of the Muslims that, okay, you believe in the Prophet and you're making jihad and you have made hijrah, but I am the one who maintains the masjid, Masjid al-Haram, and I am the one who feeds the pilgrims. And so Allah revealed an ayah in response to this. Allah said, أَجْعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, that have you made the maintaining of Masjid al-Haram and feeding water to the pilgrims كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, equal to the person who has iman in Allah, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and equal to having iman in the final day, وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and perform jihad in the way of Allah, لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, these two people are not equal to Allah. The one who used to maintain the building and fed water to the pilgrims is not equal to the one who has iman in Allah and the final day and makes jihad fi sabilillah. So this was revealed regarding Al-Abbas radiallahu an. The author said, وَلَمْ يُسْلِمْ مِنْ أَعْمَامِ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا الْعَبَّاسُ وَالْحَمْزَةِ, that from the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his father, only two uncles accepted Islam. And they were Al-Abbas and Hamza. They were the two uncles who accepted Islam. When I spoke about Hamza accepting Islam, remember I said that initially when he accepted Islam, he did not accept Islam because he believed in At-Tawheed. Rather, initially he accepted Islam just because of family pride, that they've hit my nephew, so I'm going to go back and take revenge. And then in a moment of anger, he said, I say what he says, I believe in what he believes in. And then later on, he was true to his Islam. And in this is a lesson with regard to da'wah. And that is that nowadays, many people, they come to the masjid and they say that we want to be a Muslim. And if you ask them, why do you want to be a Muslim? Many of them say, it's because I want to marry a particular woman. A particular woman, she's a Muslim, I'm a non-Muslim, and if I want to marry her, then her family are saying you need to be a Muslim. Or sometimes it's the other way around, that you have a Muslim man and you have a non-Muslim woman. And the Muslim man says to the non-Muslim woman, if you want to marry me, then you need to accept Islam. So the reason why they are accepting Islam is just because of marriage. Maybe not even that they actually intend Islam, because they want to accept Islam, they want to be a Muslim, but for the sake of the marriage. Now, if that situation occurs, do we say to that person, no, go back, we're not going to accept your Islam? No. That person, even if they're doing it for marriage, you say, welcome, come and accept Islam, even if it's for the sake of marriage. And then perhaps after a few days, after a few months, because they are Muslim now, they will be sincere to their Islam. So we should never reject that person who comes to accept Islam, even if it's only because I want to be a Muslim, because I want to marry fulan and fulan. And this is how Hamza initially, radiallahu an, how he accepted Islam. And how many people, initially they accepted Islam because of marriage, and then later on they became better Muslim than their husbands or their wives. And this occurs a lot. After this, the author, he mentions the two uncles of the Prophet who lived until Islam, but they did not accept Islam. They died upon kufr, even though they lived in the time of Islam. The first of them is Abu Talib. And as you know, Abu Talib, the son of Abdul Muttalib, He was the closest uncle to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Talib was not his name. Rather, his name is Abd Munaf. But Abu Talib was a kunya. And the reason why Abu Talib was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Abu Talib was his full uncle. Meaning Abdul Muttalib had a number of wives. And his sons were brothers to each other, but different mothers. But Abdullah and Abu Talib, they shared the same mother and the same father. So they were the closest to each other. And this is why when the Prophet's father Abdullah passed away, Abdul Muttalib took care of him. When Abdul Muttalib passed away, who took care of him? Abu Talib. Because Abu Talib was the closest uncle to him, even in terms of blood relation. He was a full uncle from both the father side and the mother side. Abdul Muttalib and his wife, who was the mother of Abdullah, she was also the mother of Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, he took an oath with Abdul Muttalib that I will take full care of Muhammad, his nephew, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is why Abu Talib was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he showed him so much support. The Quraysh, they came to Abu Talib and they said to Abu Talib that you need to leave, you need to stop defending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَإِنَّكَ عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ. And you are the same religion that we are. Your nephew, he is saying he's a Muslim. You're like us, you're a mushrik, you worship our gods. So you need to be with us and you need to stop defending him. So Abu Talib, he started feeling the pressure from the Quraysh. So Abu Talib said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, يَبْنَ أَخِي, O my nephew, إِنَّ قَوْمَكَ جَاءُونِ, your people, your tribe have come to me. وَقَالُوا كَذَا وَكَذَا, and they've requested from me such and such that I have to stop defending you, I have to leave you, you're on a different religion. فَلَا تُحَمِّلْنِي مَا لَا أُطِيقُ أَنَا وَلَا أَنْتَ. So don't burden me with what I cannot bear and what you cannot bear. فَكْفُفْ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ مَا يَكْرَهُونَ مِنْ قَوْلِكَ. So those things which your tribe don't like you saying, stop saying those things. Meaning stop speaking about the idols, stop speaking about the deities, stop spreading the message of At-Tawheed, because you're putting me in a difficult situation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, Wallahi, لو وضع الشمس بيميني. He said, by Allah, if these people, if they put the sun in my right hand, والقمر في يساري, and they put the moon in my left hand, مَا تَرَكْتُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, I will never leave this call, either call to Tawheed, حَتَّى يُظْهِرُهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ أَهْلَكْ فِي طَلَبِهِ, until Allah makes Islam victorious or I die seeking Islam. I will never leave the call to Tawheed until either the Tawheed and Islam is victorious or I am killed in the way of At-Tawheed. And then when Abu Talib, when he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying this, and he knew the importance of this message with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said his famous words of poetry. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ بِجَمْعِهِمْ. He said, by Allah, they will never be able to reach you or harm you, even if it's all of them. حَتَّى أَوْسَدَ فِي التُّرَابِ دَفِينَا, until I am buried in the ground. فَصْدَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ مَا عَلَيْكَ غَضَاذَا. So carry on giving your message. وَأَبْشِرْ وَقُرْ بِذَاكَ مِنْكَ عُيُونَا, and be happy and have glad tidings. وَدَعَوْتَنِي وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّكَ نَاصِحِي, and you, O Muhammad, you called me and you gave me da'wah, and I knew that you were nasih, you were sincere advisor. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَكُنْتَ ثُمَّ أَمِينًا, and you were truthful and then you were trustworthy. وَعَرَضْتَ دِينًا قَدْ عَرَفْتُ بِأَنَّهُ, and you showed me a religion and I know that this religion is مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا, this is the best religion which exists. لَوْلَ الْمُلَامَةَ وَحِذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ, had it not been for the fear of blame and for the fear of insult from my people, لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا, then you would find me accepting the message of Islam. So Abu Talib, he knew Islam is the truth. He knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not lie, but he did not accept Islam. And why did he not accept Islam? Lawlal mulama. Had it not been for the blame of the people, and what the people would say, and how the people will embarrass me, and how the people will tarnish my name. And on his deathbed, Abu Talib, he said to the Prophet, Ibn Akhi, O my nephew, Millat al-Ashiyakh, the religion of the sheikhs. And the meaning of sheikh here is the old people, i.e. my forefathers. Meaning Abu Talib said, I am upon the religion of my forefathers. Meaning upon kufr, upon shirk. And the story of how the Prophet tried to give da'wah to Abu Talib is mentioned in the ahadith. And that is that when Abu Talib was upon his deathbed, and around him were two of his closest friends, Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah. They were two close friends of Abu Talib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Abu Talib and he said, Ay am, qul la ilaha illallah. He said, Oh my beloved uncle, say la ilaha illallah. Kalimatan uhaju laka biha indallah. And if you say la ilaha illallah, then I will take this with Allah, I will take this forward with Allah, I will plea on your behalf with Allah. And Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, both of them said, Ya Abu Talib, O Abu Talib, atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib, are you going to turn away from the religion of your father Abdul Muttalib? So then the Prophet came to him again and said, Ya am, qul la ilaha illallah, O my beloved uncle, say la ilaha illallah. Kalimatan uhaju laka biha indallah. If you say la ilaha illallah, I will plea on your behalf with Allah. And again, his friends Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, they said, "Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib?" Oh Abu Talib, are you going to turn away from the religion of your father Abdul Muttalib? And the narrator of the hadith said, "Wa kana akhiru kalamihi," that the last word which Abu Talib said, "Ala millati Abdul Muttalib," he's upon the way of Abdul Muttalib, and therefore he died upon shirk and kufr. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw that his closest uncle Abu Talib has died upon kufr, the Prophet remarked, "La astaghfiranna laka ma lam unha an," that I will seek forgiveness for you as long as I am not forbidden from doing so. Even though he died upon kufr, the Prophet said, "I'm going to carry on seeking forgiveness for you." And then Allah revealed the ayah, correcting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ma kana lin-nabiyyi wal-ladhina amanu." It is not correct for the Prophet and those who have iman, an yastaghfiru lil-mushrikeen, that they seek forgiveness for the people of ash-shirk, walau kanu uli qurba, even if they are the closest relatives to them. So this ayah was revealed regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking forgiveness for Abu Talib. As long as a non-Muslim is alive, then guidance and blessings and Islam can be made dua for that person. But when he dies and he dies upon kufr, even if he's the closest relative, it is not allowed for a person to pray the janazah or attend the janazah or seek forgiveness for him. And also Allah revealed the ayah, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you do not guide whoever you love, rather Allah guides whoever He wills. And Allah guides according to His wisdom. And then the author mentioned the other uncle of the Prophet, Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab ibn Abdul Muttalib, Abu Lahab was not his name. Rather, this was a nickname or a kunya. He said the name of Abu Lahab was Abdul Uzza. And Al-Uzza was the name of an idol. So he was known as the worshipper of Al-Uzza, and Al-Uzza was the name of an idol. And Abu Lahab also was there when the Prophet appeared in terms of Islam, and he also rejected his message. So two from the uncles of the Prophet accepted Islam, and they were Al-Abbas and Hamza. And two of his uncles refused to accept Islam, and they were Abu Talib and Abu Lahab. And no doubt Abu Talib was much better than Abu Lahab. Because Abu Talib used to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact even support the message of Islam. As for Abu Lahab, then he was the first enemy of Islam and the greatest enemy of Islam. And he tried every way to try to belittle the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from publicly humiliating him and personally humiliating him and trying to block every avenue of a da'wah. And you know the story. When Allah revealed to the Prophet the ayah wa anzir ashiratakal aqrabin, Allah said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go warn your closest tribes people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he climbed to the mountain and he said, ya sabaha, ya sabaha. And sabaha, this was a term or a code word that the Quraysh used to use if somebody wanted to call an emergency. So then the Quraysh, all of them, they ran towards the mountain and they found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. And the Prophet said to them, هَلْ جَرَبْتَ مِنِّي كَذِبْ, have you ever found me to lie? He said to them, if I was to inform you that there is an army behind this mountain and it is going to attack you, would you believe me? أَصَدَّقْتُمُونِي, would you believe me? And they all said, مَا جَرَبْنَا مِنْكَ كَذِبْ, that we never found you to ever lie before. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ, then verily Allah has sent me as a warner, as a messenger, calling to Tawheed, warning against the punishment which is about to come. And then what did Abu Lahab say? Ali hadha jama'atana ya Muhammad, is it because of this you have called us here? Tabban laka, may you be perished. And when Abu Lahab said to the Prophet, may you be perished, then Allah revealed the ayat regarding Abu Lahab and his wife. Allah said, tabbat yada abi lahab wa tab, that rather it is the hands of Abu Lahab which will be perished and he will be perished himself. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab, all the wealth which he gained and everything which he earned, none of it will benefit him. Sayasla naran dhata lahab, and he will be put into the fire which has blazing flames. Wamra'atuh, and also his wife. Hammalat al-hatab, she will be carrying the fuel or the wood for that fire. Fi jidiha hablum min masad, and around her neck she'll be wearing a necklace, a type of punishment. And why did Allah mention regarding the wife of Abu Lahab that she will be carrying the fuel for the fire? Because it is mentioned that when the Prophet was alive, she used to carry lies about the Prophet, and she used to carry slanders regarding the Prophet. And also it is mentioned that she used to pick the thorns from the plants and she used to place them in the path of where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking. So because she used to carry things in the dunya to hurt the Prophet, then in the akhirah Allah will make her carry the fuel for the fire. And then the author mentioned how Abu Lahab, he spoke about his sons. He said he had a son called Utbah and he had a son called Mi'tab, and both of them, they accepted Islam and they fought with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Hunain. And he also had a son called Utaybah, and Utaybah did not accept Islam. When Utaybah wanted to go with his father to Sham for the business, for trading, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I disbelieve in Allah. Wa basaqa ala an-nabi, and he spat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua, Allahumma sallit alayhi kalbin min kalabik, O Allah, send upon him a dog from the dogs which you have created, or O Allah, send upon him a predator from the predators which you have created. And in the history books it is mentioned that Utaybah, as soon as he left for the journey, he was on the way towards Sham and a lion came and attacked Utaybah and killed Utaybah. So he died this death upon kufr. The other two sons of Abu Lahab, they accepted Islam. Of course, the two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Kulthum and Ruqayyah, both of them, they were married to the two sons of Abu Lahab. And when the ayah Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa Tab was revealed, then Abu Lahab ordered his two sons to divorce the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umm Kulthum and Ruqayya radiallahu anhunna. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he married one to Uthman radiallahu an. And then when she died, he married his other daughter to Uthman radiallahu an. And this is why Uthman is known as Dhinnurain, the one who possessed the two lights. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو كان عندي ثالث, that if I had a third daughter, لزوجتها, then I would marry her off to Uthman radiallahu anhu. From the lessons that we've learned, there's some benefits. The first benefit is, as I mentioned, with regards to da'wah, that if a person comes to us and they want to be a Muslim, and maybe they want to be a Muslim because of marriage, then we shouldn't turn that person away. Rather, we should teach them and welcome them into Islam and bring them into Islam. Also, from the benefits is when it comes to teaching our children or giving da'wah to the people, that a person should not lose hope when it comes to teaching his children, giving them tarbiyah or giving da'wah to the people. Maybe a person tries so much with his child with regards to the salah, with regards to the masjid, and the child does not pray. But still a person should not lose hope. And we have in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best example. So look, Abu Talib stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for so long, and even on his deathbed, the Prophet still went to give him da'wah. The Prophet didn't think, okay, now he's on his deathbed and I've been teaching him for so long, he's not going to listen. Even on his deathbed, the Prophet still came to him and then he addressed him with those beautiful words, Ya Ammi, O my beloved uncle, say La ilaha illallah. So a person should not lose hope when it comes to tarbiyah of the children. And many times you have a father and he tries his best with his children and his children don't listen. And the effects of his tarbiyah might be seen after he has passed away. And this has occurred many times, that during his lifetime the children never listened to him. Then as soon as he passed away, then the children realized that who our father was and how much he tried. And then they come close to Islam. So you as a father, as a mother, as a da'i, remain patient, remain close to your children, even if they become closer. Don't lose hope in them. Don't abandon them. Stay close to them and be patient and always advise them with good words. And you have to fulfill your obligation and the rest is in the hands of Allah. Like Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even you do not guide who you will or love, rather Allah guides whoever He wills. Also from the lessons in this is that Islam is not restricted to a particular group of people. So just because you're born into a Muslim family doesn't mean anything. Just because you're born Ahlul Hadith doesn't mean anything. Rather, you have to be a Muslim. And you have to learn about Islam. And you have to know Tawheed. And live upon the Sunnah. So it's not good enough that we say we're Muslims because we were born Muslims. Because Islam, it isn't somebody's right by birth. Otherwise, look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mentioned, from his uncles, only two accepted Islam. Abu Lahab and Abu Talib, they lived with the Prophet, they lived in front of the Kaaba, they were born in Mecca, they used to talk to the Prophet tried to guide them, they saw the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet they did not accept Islam. And even before them, there were Prophets whose sons rejected their message, and whose wives rejected their message, and whose fathers like Ibrahim and Azad who rejected their message. And then there were others who were not born in Mecca, like Salman al-Farsi, not even an Arab, from the Persians, and Bilal al-Habashi from the Abyssinian slaves. Yet they have a great status in Islam. So it's not good enough, and it's not enough that you're Ahlul Hadith because you were born into Ahlul Hadith family. Rather, you have to practice the message and the Dawah Ahlul Hadith. And it's not enough that we were born as Muslims. Rather, we have to practice Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and at-tawfiq. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.